Good morning. It's the 1st of February. Our first reading for today is Exodus 5 and 6. I'm going to read to you from Brother Harry Tennant's book, Moses, My Servant. I read, "The time has come when Moses must meet Pharaoh. The time has come when Pharaoh must meet the Lord. All has been planned beforehand. This is the Lord's work. He is neither hastened nor held back. The words spoken to Abraham took root in time and now bring forth their flower. The man who stood beneath the stars, childless but believing, sleeps in the cave of Machpelah. But his God is alive and has called himself the God of Abraham. Nay, more, infinitely more, as the Master himself made clear to the Sadducees, the Lord has said, I am the God of Abraham." Moses and Aaron turn from the bowed heads of the elders of Israel and move towards Pharaoh's court. For Aaron, this was new. For Moses, the leaves of memory rustled. He recalled the days when the court was his home and Egypt his inheritance. He knew the customs and protocol. Life and death were in Pharaoh's hand, and he, a returning fugitive whom an earlier Pharaoh had sought to slay. The two brothers move on, strengthened by the word of the Lord and by the signs, and Moses carries the rod of God. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Why should the God of the whole earth beseech a man? Surely he need but speak, and the people are free. True, but this is not the way of the Lord. Even Pharaoh must have opportunity to comply or to refuse. The people must be purified and disciplined by tribulation, and Moses himself must be forged upon the anvil of trial until he becomes a leader after God's pattern. It is interesting to notice that at this stage, Moses asks only for a temporary release for the purpose of making sacrifice. The request was a moderate testing of the heart of Pharaoh. "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" Here is a note of defiance and an omen of things to come. The memory of Joseph could not have altogether died. The vanity of the king was the vanity of all despots, the defiance of heaven and the blasphemous assurance that blots out the name of all but self. He dismisses the two brothers and sends forth the taskmasters to maintain the rate of bricks, but to make the Israelites find their own straw. The task is well nigh impossible, and many of the people have to travel great distances in search of stubble. The people are in the furnace of affliction, and the fire is being increased. Distressed and in evil case, they lift up their eyes and behold Moses and Aaron. "The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savour to be abhorred." Moses too is at the crossroads, expelled by Pharaoh and rebuked by his people. To whom can he turn? He is in no man's land, in the strait betwixt two. Aaron is not large enough for this situation. Rarely does he comfort or strengthen his brother's hand. Moses comes forth with that quality of living which will mark out his greatness in years to come. The Lord has spoken to him. Now he will speak to the Lord. There is no lack of eloquence before God. The prayers of Moses burst forth like the water from the rock at the hand of God. The power and privilege of prayer are made known in this man. The question for us is, how do we react to the kind of difficulty which isolates us in daily life? Do we sag beneath the burden of the moment, or do we turn to the Lord God of Israel? Thank you for listening.